From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
For nearly 4.5 decades, he has helped define the musical sound here at Howard University. He is a world-class arranger, scholar, mentor, and recently awarded the Distinguished Alumni Award. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is the retiring director of University Choral Activities and professor of music, Dr. J. Weldon Norris. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you grew up in South Carolina. Tell me what that was like.
You know, I was born in 35. Quite some time ago, and but my father passed, so we moved back to South Carolina with my paternal grandparents. My mother went back to school, and of course, I grew up in midst of near and dire segregation. And I went to, segregated schools, etc. But I didn't go to segregated high school. I wanted to go to a good high school. So I went to New York with my aunt and went to high school in New York.
Okay. And that must have been very different at that time from going to school in South Carolina. What was going to school at a high school that was totally integrated in New York?
Well, it was quite different, yes, because there I began to explore a lot of my musical talents I wanted to explore, and I couldn't do it in South Carolina because there was no one to really teach me. And the blacks... I use that term black because that's the term we use then, of course. I knew a lot about church music, play hymns and things like that, but not. I wanted to be a classical pianist. The whites who knew of me and my talents wanted to teach me, but I couldn't go to their home and they couldn't come to mine. So I had no teachers.
So what sparked your early interest in music?
I don't know because at 2.5, I'm told, I was at the piano playing Silent Night for my mother. And my mother did a bit of teaching me with music, and she taught what she could, but she had to go to school. And I don't know, at a very early age, like when I was 5 years old, Sunday afternoon, kids were out playing ball, etc. I was lying across my mother's bed listening to Arturo Toscanini and the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
quite the type of education for a 5-year-old.
Yes.
So you attended South Carolina State College, which means you moved back to the South to attend college. What influenced that decision?
I was very young. I was 15 when I entered, really. And my parents all wanted me to be a medical doctor because of my father, and that was one of his desires. 2 sons. One must be a preacher and one must be a doctor. I was chosen to be a doctor, and my brother ain't hardly no preacher.
I guess that's something that chooses you more than you choose it. So you studied chemistry and biology.
Yes.
Given your musical interests and understanding, obviously, the tension of your family wanting you to become a physician, what did you do to keep your interest in music while at South Carolina State?
I sang in the college choir, and I helped my fraternity learn songs and things like that. I would be in the chemistry lab and get bored. I wouldn't say bored. I hated it. I really hated the chemistry lab. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I hated it. Now I would go practice the piano just to relieve myself, you know. But I had to do it. But I tried to keep up the musical interest as much as I could, and I did. But it wasn't what I really wanted, and I always really wanted to be that concert pianist. And so when I finished, I said, Mother, here's your college degree. Here's your chemistry degree. I'm going to study music. Where are you going? I'm going to Howard. Why Howard? That's the best.
And then you came to Howard to earn your Bachelor of Music and your Master of Music.
Yes.
Music Theory. Tell me what that was like, since you were so determined to come to Howard University.
Well, I knew that at that time, To begin a concert career, especially in a performing career, when you were like 19 when I finished college the first time, and I was 20 and I came to Howard, that's kind of late. But I still wanted music. So the only thing I knew was music education. That's all we knew about in the South. And of course, I couldn't go to the University of South Carolina because of my color, and they paid for me to come to Howard. So I said, if you're going to give me this kind of money to go to another school because of your stupidity, I'll take every penny of it, and I did. So I came to Howard, and I started in one field, and I just didn't like the field of music I was in. I talked with my advisor, and she said, what do you really want to do in life? What do you want to teach to now that you don't want to be a pianist? You think you can't be a pianist? I said, well, I'm a history buff. She said, how about music history? What's that? I never heard of music history before, musicology. Never heard of it. She said, let's try it. And she put the rabbit in the briar patch.
And then after leaving Howard, tell me what then took you career-wise to fulfilling what now has been a legacy of work that is world-renowned.
Well, my idols, as far as choral music was concerned, was Dean Lawson here at Howard, and then the great Robert Shaw. And I said, I saw him when I was going to high school in New York when he was conductor of the Fred Waring Choir, and I was a little kid and didn't know who he was. But I was determined that I was going to be a choral conductor because that's the thing that got me. Choral music just really turned me on to no end. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. So the first job I was asked to do when I finished Howard was not in music. The first was in to teach freshman chemistry and to teach music appreciation piano. So I took the one in South Carolina, back in the school in South Carolina, and I took the choir. They said, well, can you conduct a choir? I said, I think I can. I really had never conducted a choir in my life, but we worked very, very hard. And they got to be quite good, and I just loved it. And so this is how I started my career in choral conducting and refused to let it go.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. J. Weldon Norris. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, you clearly have worked with some of the greats. You mentioned Dr. Lawson, Dr. Veda Butcher. Mm-hmm. What types of influences did you have?
I was determined to study with the very best that I could, and thank God I really did. Dr. Warner Lawson here, I had to work because I was poor. Well, I wasn't poor when I was at Howard. I was P.O. I couldn't afford the other Wara. I was P.O. And I had to work. But I would even miss work hours to come to choir practice because I loved it so much and what he did and wanted to learn what he did. And I got to it. And I went against once and he asked us during Christmas, he said, how many of you would like to stay here and do the Berlioz L'Enfance de Christ with Robert Shaw? I said, the Robert Shaw? He said, yeah. I said, I will. And that's when I began to become acquainted with Mr. Shaw and became further acquainted with him when I really went to Indiana to study. And my choral teacher was his teacher. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we got to be such. And Shaw became my mentor.
Right. Got you. Excellent. Now, you've directed choirs on our campus in prominent concert halls and all around the world. If you could pick a favorite or most memorable experience, what would that be?
Well, I'll be for a long time trying to pick because I have so many, many. I think one of the greatest, it was when, quite a few years ago, the American Choral Conductors Association did the Beethoven Mises Alumnus in New Orleans, at the New Orleans Symphony, the Atlanta Symphony, which Shaw was conducting. And they chose the choirs to sing, and the choirs were all from the major, predominantly white institutes of America, white music schools. So Shaw said, well, where's the black representation here? And they told him, they said, well, there's no black choir in America that can sing the Mises Alumnus. He said, have you tried Norris at Howard University? They said, no. So he called me and he said, Jim, can you do it? I said, you know we can. And we did. And President Cheek was president at that time. Flew us, 50 of us down, and we did it. And when we came off the stage, when we did the first performance, the conductors walked on the stage. I was the black one, so they let me walk on first. And with the others. And we came off. I was the last to come off with Shaw. And when I came off, Shaw grabbed my arm and my hand in his and walked with me off the stage. And that was just one of the greatest thrills because of so many of the people I'd known in Scoot, Indiana, who said, well, I wouldn't get this place or that place because they were there. Right. So I said, oh, that was one of the greatest moments I think I'll never forget.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, you also trained in Europe. You spent a significant amount of time in some very, very renowned academies. Mm-hmm. What was that like, given your education here at Howard and at South Carolina State College?
Well, number one, in South Carolina State, remember, the chemistry prepared me for the discipline of music. It really did. It disciplined me very much for the study of music. And I was trained well trained at Howard. I mean, really, I was very well trained at Howard. And I was so surprised how I could tower above other students from very named institutions in my field. But it was a great influence. Great influence.
Now, you do everything. You do the broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I have a particular affinity for your Negro spirituals in particular. How do you mesh those very different worlds in a commencement exercise or a convocation exercise where you have a very classical piece and you bring a very spiritual piece and it all seems to fit together so well?
Well, see, I think a good choir can sing anything and everything. Well, not everything, but I mean anything when I say any, within a certain spectrum of music. But you have to train for it. And, of course, with the Negro spiritual, it's something that you can't learn from listening to a record or listening to someone else. You have to be brought up in it. I was. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, and he took me around, and I learned this from the, and I learned it the authentic way. And it is something that I just adore. Of all the music, and I'm an opera buff from no end, but the Negro spiritual is still my favorite form of choral music. And there's such a world and a knowledge there of poetry and music that nowadays we very seldom hear.
And speaking of which, as you know, my favorite is I Done Done.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the history of it and why you present it in the way you do that I think is the most impactful of any that I've ever heard.
Well, but I heard that growing up in my church in South Carolina. And, of course, you know, for the raised hymns, and that's a whole thing that's gone out now in prayer services and things like that. And usually sometimes after the minister had to finish his sermon, the preacher had preached, and they would raise that, Lord, I done done. And so we were, the choir was, we were singing the Beethoven Ninth in Hartford, Connecticut, with the Hartford Symphony, and we finished. And on the bus coming back, they finally went to sleep. And I started singing this tune to myself, and I figured it all out of my head what I wanted and got home at night and wrote it all out. And that's the way that came about.
Now, as I said, you've conducted all over the world. Yeah. What is your parting philosophy about music that you would like to leave with us here at Howard University as your legacy?
Well, not only music, but anything else. I think that you should do in life what you really want to do. I think each of us was put here on this earth for a purpose. And you do what you really enjoy doing, and don't do it because someone else wants you to do it, or you do it for the money in it. You do it because you want to do it. And that's the thing that I've done. I did what I wanted to do in life. And that's what I tell my students all the time to do. And that's a satisfaction you just can't get anywhere else.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. J. Weldon Norris. And I think we can all agree here at Howard University, he done us extremely well. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.